in your Bibles now to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And let's read verse 12 and 13. John 1, verses 12 and 13. As many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He power, or the right, or privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which, or who, were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He the rights, the privilege, to become the sons of God, to them that believe on His name, who were born of God. Now I try my best, by the grace of God, to be as true to God's Word as I can. It's what I want to do. Every time I stand up here, I want to preach God's Word as it is. Whenever God's Word warns us, I want to warn us. I want to rebuke us where it does, reprove, rebuke, correct, instruct, admonish, wherever the Word of God does that. That's what I want to do. I want to be faithful to that. Whenever the Word of God comforts, I want to comfort. Whenever it consoles us, encourages us, or assures us, that's what I want to do from God's Word. And I don't know who God's people are. I don't know who they are. Some give clear evidence that they are. Some give evidences that they are, but that's not infallible. Some who at one time look like they are, later on prove not to be. So that's not infallible either. But the Word of God will not return void. That's my comfort in preaching. That's where I get my comfort, in knowing that God Almighty will direct His Word to whoever needs it, whenever, and He'll accomplish whatever He purposes to do with it. And it's not up to me, no amount of preparation, or no lack of preparation, that He'll apply it to whoever needs it. That's comforting to me. And I'm constantly reminded of that. I preached a message last Sunday morning, and I'll just be honest with you. I had a couple of people in mind that I thought, well, they need this, and this will be a blessing to them. And if they'll just hear it, they're really going to get something here. Well, they didn't hear it, evidently. Somebody else did, though. Somebody else did. So it's not up to me. I'm glad of that. But I just want to declare what God said, be true to it. And lately I've been preaching some messages that have been of comfort, endeavoring to comfort God's people. That's what He says. Comfort ye, my people. A twofold command there. Comfort my people. And the Word of God is written to God's people. Did you read that there in 1 John 5? There's not a more blessed or comforting portion of Scripture that I can think of. In the Bible, He said, now I've written unto you that believe. Huh? That's who He's writing to there. And He said, that you may know. And last Sunday, I endeavored to preach to those who may have some doubts and fears and so forth concerning their salvation, to comfort maybe a weak yet believing believer. And somebody should have gotten something out of that. And I believe somebody did. And that you may know. Let me quote that again to you there in 1 John 5:13. It says, that you may know. 1 John 5:13. That you may know. I've written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life, And John, he says, that you may believe on the name. Like the man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That you may know right now that you are a child of God, and that you may know a little better. Know Him. Like Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. That you might know, believe on His name. Believe more and more strongly all the time. Well, this message is also geared or focused at somebody who may be a weak, struggling believer. Okay? If that describes you, if you don't know, if you would like to know, if you are concerned about the state of your own soul, I advise you to listen up. Listen up. All right, our text in John chapter 1 tells us what this is, what it means to be born again, or how we're born again. Anyway, it's a mystery, really. It doesn't tell us what to do or how a man is born. It declares, though, what it is to be born again. And that's what I want to deal with firstly. And then lastly, I want to deal with evidences of it. Evidences of the new birth, of being born of God. What prompted this message? I've preached from this text before. But we were looking at the film of our last trip to Mexico. And the one shot of me preaching, I was preaching from this text. And I began reading it again. I mean, looking over those old notes, and I thought, I'm just going to bring that again. I'm going to preach it, rework it, make it fresh, and bring it again. All right, it says in John 1, verse 13, it says that, now, do you notice that he's describing that those that, verse 12, received him, them that believe on his name, it says, which were. Do you see that? Past tense. Why did they receive Christ? Why did they believe on him? Because they were born of God. Something happened before they believed, Henry, right? Something happened before they received Christ by faith. All right, let's look at it, verse 13. It says, these were born not of blood or bloods, fleshly heritage, if you will. Bloodlines is what they're talking about. You're not born, you're not going to be saved, in other words, because you were born a Baptist. Because your daddy was a Baptist, your mama was a Baptist, and you can trace your lineage all the way down through the trail of blood. There's a denomination that believes that. And you're a Baptist, you're in. Just like Catholicism pretty much believes that way, don't they? You're a member, you're born in the church. Not of bloods, no. And not of circumcision. Not of sacrifice, ceremony. Not of baptism, as some people believe that. You're going to be born not of heritage, not because your mama was there, your mama was a Baptist, or your daddy was a Calvinist. My mom and daddy both were Calvinists. That's not going to save me. It's going to give me a good background of truth, isn't it? But that's not going to save me. Only one thing saves me. All right? Now, the only thing that runs through our bloodstream is sin. That's the only thing that's there. That's the only thing we've got original by nature. Sin. Grace doesn't run through the blood. Grace is transfused. We get a transfusion of grace. All right, go on. Not of blood. Not of the will of the flesh either. You see that? Nobody is born spiritually. This new birth we're talking about. New birth. Not of the will of the flesh. Not of the will of the flesh. The Scripture says in Ephesians 2 that we're dead in trespasses and sin, doesn't it? You know, it says the same thing in Colossians 2, verse 13. You're dead. You hath he quickened. You being dead in your trespasses and sin. Can a dead man will himself back to life? Huh? If they could, they'd have done it a long time ago, wouldn't it? Huh? Been a lot of people had their bodies frozen and all that, hoping that later on. It just, when you're dead, huh? Bernard used to say graveyard dead. That means dead, stinking dead. Right? Dead's dead, isn't it? What did God mean when he told Adam, when the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to die? Did he mean just half dead? Well, there ain't no such thing. They're part dead, sick, die, dead to God. Can't do anything. Can't call on God. Can't seek God. Can't hear God. Don't even acknowledge God. Dead. That's what scriptures mean when it means spiritually dead. Huh? You mean dead? I wish our generation... This is where all error starts, people. All religious error has its beginning right here, doesn't it? They don't realize man's dead. He can't do anything. And they're out there calling on men to exercise their will. Well, he's dead. They can't. You might as well go down to the graveyard and tell a man, if you will, won't you come forward? Won't you make your decision to live? He's dead, right? Not by the will of the flesh. He's dead. The scripture says, can an Ethiopian change his skin? And a black man just decide to be white? Well, if he goes has enough injections like Michael Jackson, he can be. But he can't just step in one day and say, I'm going to be white. Or vice versa. A white man black. Huh? Can the leopard change his spot? He said, neither can you do good then, who are just evil by nature. Huh? And this is the problem. Preachers are calling on unregenerate, dead people to do something. They can't. You need to call on God to do something, you say. It's not of the will of the flesh. These few words in the scriptures ought to suffice to lay that in the ground where it belongs. Free will. Man's will is dead, people. It's not free. It's not of him that willeth. Romans 9:16. It is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Is it Philippians 2:13? It says it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Right? And here it says it's not of the will of the flesh. I think we understand that. I think we do. Man's will, this will describe man's will. Man's will is bound by his nature. The will is, your will now is your desires, your affection, your what you want to do, right? It's bound by our nature. And as Scripture says, we're dead in trespasses and sin. Let me give you this analogy. A horse. What will a horse eat? Any horse people in here? Margaret's not in here. If you put before a horse a great big prime rib, beautiful, raw, beautiful piece of meat, you couldn't, if you stuffed it in his mouth, he's not going to eat that. Why? It's not his nature. What will he eat? Grain, grass, hay, oats. He's a vegetarian. That's what he'll eat. He won't eat meat. I don't care how good it's fixed. He won't eat it, right? That's his nature. You can't force him. All right? You offer a big bucket of beautiful oats to a lion. A lion. Big hungry lion. Give him all he can eat. Oats. Quaker oats. He's not going to eat it. He will not eat it. He'll eat you first. He likes meat. That's his nature, right? Birds eat grain and so forth. The scripture says, what did man do? He drinks iniquity like the water. Doesn't it say that? Man, that's his nature. That's what he wants to do. He can't, neither can you do good, which you're accustomed, which your nature. Your nature won't allow you to do good. Huh? There's a law in the members saying, I don't want to do what's right. I want to do what's wrong. Isn't that man? That's his nature. Huh? He's got to be changed, you see. His will's got to be overcome. He doesn't have a free will. His will will only do what his nature lets him do. What's that? Choose God? Can't do it. He won't choose God. Choose self.
You choose self.
You offer a man God, or, and humanly speaking, offer him God or all the pleasures of sin, what will he take? Every time, he'll take sin. That's his nature. His will is bent toward that, you say. Huh? God's got to change it. Psalm 110:3 says what? God must make us willing in the day of his power. So it's not of the will of the flesh, is it? All right, look on, read on. Read on. It says not of the will of man either. Is that saying the same thing? No, it's not. It's saying something different. Not of the will of the flesh. In other words, I can't just will up and decide to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Now, a man can accept all this that's going on today, but he sure won't accept the Lord of glory or bow down to him, will he? He will not have that kind of God or that kind of gospel. That's proof of it. You preach the gospel and watch man's free will at work. Oh, I won't have that. Salvation by grace, sovereign grace, no way. You prove the point, fella. You're depraved. Well, you'll have it if God makes you willing to have it. It's the only way you'll have it. And you will have it. Every one of them will. Nor the will of man, all right? It's saying something entirely different. In other words, Mama can't make me willing in the day of her power. I can't be prayed through. Right? In other words, we want somebody saved in here. Let's gang up on God. That's what these multi-prayer meetings are all about, people. It's what Bernard said. When everybody gets together and prays at the same time, they're ganging up on God. Twist his arm. Let's force him to do something. That won't do it either. Gang up on God. No way. Not the will. Not by well-meant efforts. Listen, if we could, some of us, if we could save our unsaved loved ones, we'd have done so a long time ago, wouldn't we? Huh? If our prayers, what saved, they'd been saved a long time ago, wouldn't they? Huh? All our children would be saved, wouldn't it? Huh? Whose will is it up to? If God wills it. That's the only way they're going to be saved. Now, John, I can take comfort in that. Can't you? Now, the thing we need to remember is they don't deserve to be saved. Right? They don't deserve it any more than we did to be saved. But if God's willing and he does save one of them, boy, we'll rejoice to high heaven. Give him all the glory, won't we? And we're going to keep on praying. Why? He said so. He said pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth everything. No, doesn't say that. It says much. Much. Not everything. He doesn't always give us what we ask for. Huh? Sometimes he does. And that's the reason we pray, people. Why pray? We believe God. Because God will get the glory that way, won't he? If he gives us what we've been praying for, he's going to get the glory for it, isn't he? If he gives us something we hadn't been asking for, we'll attribute it to whatever. Right? Luck. Chance. All right? Not of the will of man. It's not of blood. Not of the will of the flesh. We're not born into the kingdom of God by family. We don't exercise our will and accept Jesus and all of a sudden he writes our name down because we decided. No, it's God's decision. And nobody else can get us in either. But one. There's only one person who can put somebody in the family of God. Who's that? God. God. He alone decides. What if let me use an illustration. What if Stan and Sherry there, if some little tow-headed, rotten, mean, dirty-smelling kid comes up to their door and says, "Hey, y'all don't have any children, do you?" "Well, I've decided." Y'all going to be happy about this. "I've decided to be a member of your family, to let you accept me. I'm going to call myself Anderson." "That's who I'm going to do." "Well, Stan," and say, "boy, I'm going to call the cops
what I want to do. Not those cops, the police. To come get, they won't want him either. They've got enough. Don't call the cops. I'm going to call the police on you. You see, we can't get, man, this is what men are doing. They're slapping God in the face. Hey, Jesus, we decided, look at here. Billy Bob's decided to be in your family. Aren't you pleased? They act like God's just so pleased. Thank you, Billy Bob. That's a stench in God's nostril. What? Bypassing the Holy Spirit, bypassing regeneration, bypassing the preaching of the gospel, bypassing the blood, bypassing the righteousness of Christ. Huh? It's a slap in God's face. You ain't going to do no such thing, he says. The only people going to be in my family, he says, are those that I decide. Those that I decided a long time ago, and every last one of them going to be in my family. And I'm going to give birth to them. That's what it says in verse 13. It says, this thing is of God. Of God. That describes our theology, doesn't it, Job Parks? Of God. Every bit of it. Everything we believe can be described in those two words, of God. Salvation is of God, of the Lord, from start to finish. From repentance, from the hearing of the gospel, to them being under the sound of the gospel to hear it, to the hearing of it, to the pricking of the heart, to the repentance, to the calling, to the asking, to the crying, to the sobbing, to the seeking, to the praying, to the reading, to the everything, to the believing, to the keeping, to the saving, to the receiving. It's all of God from start to finish. It's of God. Born of God. Salvation. A new birth. New birth. Taking an old dead sinner and raising him to walk in newness of life and changing his mind, changing his character, his affection, changing his will. It's a miracle. And we're passive, just like we were in the first birth. Right? It's all of God. All of Father. Of God. God's work. God conceived this thing. Here's the analogy to the natural. But God conceived us. Conceived of us, up and conceived us. He gives birth to us, and He develops us into a son of His, a son of God. God the Father decides. He planned it, predestinated it. And I've said this so many times, predestination is just planned parenthood on the part of God. God just planned who was going to be in His family and how many and what they're going to look like. They're all going to look the same. They're all going to look the same. Huh? Variety is not the spice of life to God. Christ is life. They all going to have to look like Him. He decided. He purposed. He conceived. God the Son came down here like a mother travailing in pain to give birth to a children. Jesus Christ, the Scripture actually says that, doesn't it? He travailed. He travailed in pain and sorrow and on Calvary's cross like the labor room, if I can use that familiar expression, was His laboring place of labor. And it says, and when it's all over, blood and water gushed out of Him, just like a mother giving birth to a child, right? Well, not only blood and water, but His people. The church came forth out of that riven side. He gave birth to a people right then and there. Right then and there. People who He had born in Him, like our mother. He had carried them around from the beginning. In Christ. We were in Christ. Like you mothers carrying around that seed. We were in Christ from the beginning. From the beginning. And one day He came and actually births a people. And the Holy Spirit is the one who, He's like a, He's a nurse. He nurses the people. He nurses the children. We're left in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Oh, He's a good nurse. He nurtures and matures and teaches and leads and guides and instructs and molds and shapes and conforms them to God's Son of God's sons, just like Christ. The Father says, "Now I want all my children raised just like my well-beloved Son." And the Holy Spirit says, "Gotcha. I'll do it." And He raises them all up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then He presents us one day. Here they are. Here they are. You chose them. Christ gave birth to them, for them. And I've nurtured them along the way. All right? The two analogies we can make to this. Death, this thing of born again. Death. You know, when you're in the grave, it's what the Lord uses. When you're in the grave, you're in darkness, aren't you? In the dungeon, you're kept prisoner to the grave. Somebody, now, to live, you're going to be brought forth out of darkness into light, huh? To live again, be regenerated. Well, that's the new birth, isn't it? We're dead in trespasses and sin. God comes along like that child in the book of Ezekiel 16. He comes along and says, live. How does He do that? Through the gospel. One day he preaches the gospel to you and it's words of life to you. All of a sudden, those ears that once didn't hear a thing, those eyes that once didn't see a thing, that heart that once didn't feel a thing, it's alive. Alive to God again. Now, hears. See, you say, I see. Never saw before. And why? God gave birth. Life. And like a child, I've already given that. A child in the womb is in darkness, isn't it? I'd like to stay there. Children would like to stay there. But the mother says, no, out you come. Out you come, quick. And she gives birth and delivers that child from the womb. And the Lord God delivers us from darkness to walk into His light. You know, this is not a cooperative effort any more than... Did your children, Rebecca, you had four. Did they all cooperate at birth time? Did they cooperate? Said, Mom, I'll help out. They hindered you, didn't they? Like I said, they didn't want out. They didn't want out. They wanted to stay right where they were. It was your work, wasn't it? It was your work. And the doctor, too, to force that child out, actually make that child willing to come out. Actually, a child would hinder its own delivery. I think about my own. And you'll allow me from here on out to use her as an illustration, her birth. But she was turned wrong when she was in her mother's stomach, and the doctor had to turn her. And many of you women have had that happen, had to turn. Had the child turned, okay? We're turned wrong, aren't we, by nature? You said every man, the Scripture says, every man hath turned his own way. He's going that way. What's going to have to happen? God, the Holy Spirit, is going to have to turn us, huh? Isn't it? Turn around now and look at me. You're coming out. You're coming out of that grave. You're coming out of your sin. You're coming to Christ is where you're coming. And He comes, doesn't He? All right? Here's some evidences of this new birth, all right, being born of God. Here's some evidences, and I'll hurry. First of all, a child, the first thing a child does when it's born, first thing it does, the evidence that it has life. What is it? Anybody know? First thing, huh? Cries, huh? I've told you this before, but I was there when Hannah was born. I watched her come out, and the doctor, after they clipped the cord and so forth, they handed her right to me. But when she came out, she was lifeless looking. She was blue. Her head was pointed. She was covered in filth, you know, bloody. And she was lifeless. She wasn't breathing. She wasn't making a sound. Didn't have her eyes open. She was just like a wet rag. And y'all that have seen that, you know what I'm talking about. It's scary at first, isn't it? Well, the first thing the doctor did was inflicted pain on her. Huh? Then first thing he did. They don't do now what they used to do, whack them across the bottom. We do that later. Much, do it a lot later. But he got her by the feet. But he did everything. Shook her. And got her by the feet and flicked her on the feet real hard. Quack, 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 quack. Tender feet, little feet, you know. You know. Oh, that was music to my ears. Huh? I was worried at first. I saw her come out. Oh, she's dead. She's dead. Wah! She's alive. Huh? Yes, that's music to my ear. You know what's music to God Almighty's ear? A sinner crying unto God, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. That's the first thing. How does he do that? He inflicts pain. He doesn't come with the love of God and Jesus dying, all goodness and sweetness and prophesy smooth things. Huh? He says, you're a sinner for a holy God. You offended a holy God. You deserve to die and go to hell. You sinned. You've come short of the glory of God. You must die. Where? I have. I'm a sinner. I feel it. Lord, be merciful unto me. I will. Life has begun, he said. That's the first sign. And I ask anybody, have you cried like that to God, huh? First sign of life. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, be merciful. And that's the reason I dismiss all of these revivals going on today. You don't see anybody coming down like they did at Pentecost, do you, Terry? You don't see them coming down, rushing down the aisle. Now, if they were rushing down the aisle, weeping and crying, and Lord, be merciful. We've sinned. We've killed God's Son. We've unbelievers. And now, I might believe that. But they don't. They come down chewing. How they can go to heaven when they die. They're not burdened by sin. And so the first sign of life is crying. Crying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Be merciful. Alright? Lord, save me. Save me. Second thing, that child. You know when that child comes out, it's amazing. All they've been doing while they've been in that womb is eating. That's all they've been doing for 9 months. And some of them, they continue afterwards to do nothing but eat. But for 9 months, they've been doing nothing but eating, right? Feeding off that mother, too, isn't it? Vitally joined to that mother. Huh? That's where they get their life from the mother. Well, the minute they come out now, they're hungry, aren't they? Huh? They're hungry. They crave the breast, too. Not everything will do. Not anything will do. The breast, mother's milk. And the Lord has done he's done all things well, hadn't he? There's things in a mother's milk that you won't find in these, these artificial things. Things for their immune system and so forth. I won't go into that. But the first thing they desire is the mother's breast, the milk that they need. Well, the Scripture says that as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. We desire it. First thing, a child can't live without milk, and a child of God can't live without the Word either. Huh? That's the first thing I see in somebody that life has begun. They can't get enough of hearing it. Hey, that's great. And they show me. They show me. Look at here. Do you see this? No, I've never seen that before. Let me show it to me. I have, you know, but yeah, wow. And, you know, everything's new and fresh and alive. Ooh, this is good, and it's good. I was eating the other day. I was reading the Scripture, and oh, this is good. Look at this. You see that? They desire it. They desire it. You know, and I've told you this, but one time, Mindy left me to babysit when Hannah was real young, and she had saved some of her milk and so forth in bottles and all, but we didn't have any at the time. And Hannah started crying. And Mama was gone. Boy, husband, they just don't have the touch, you know. Baby started, oh, what can I do now? Start crying. But anyway, I got a bottle of water. I'd seen Mindy feed her water. And I got a bottle of water. Well, for about 15 seconds. It stopped her crying. You know, oh, I was relieved. 15, but after a while, that old water wasn't going to get it. He said, that's just not going to get it with her. When she started again, she wanted milk. Water wasn't going to get it. Huh? And a child of God is not going to settle for this watered-down gospel today. I said that to say that.
He won't settle for anything but pure Christ. Huh? Pure Christ, the milk of God's Word. They'll hear something and, well, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, yeah. And after a while, it doesn't have much Christ in it. And say, God don't like that. Something's missing. It's weak. Scott would say it's like light beer. You can see right through it. No substance to it. Oh, wouldn't a legally religious world like that? Light beer. Gospel's like stout ale. Let them hear it. Who cares? Huh? It's got some substance. Got some body to it. Huh? In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Got Christ all through it. That's what the gospel has. It's milk and it's meat. And a little while later, they need to chew, develop their teeth, and so forth. All right? Listen to this. Isaiah 66:11 says, they shall suck and be satisfied with the breasts of consolation. The only way they're going to be satisfied is if they get a good dose of Christ. Just all the time. Milk. Milk. Well, that desire is there. All right, thirdly, a child comes out, first thing when it comes out, it's naked, isn't it? That baby is naked. And it needs something. Not only does it need to be cleaned up, washed, and that's the type, isn't it? We need to be washed in the blood of Christ from our sin, first thing. But we also need to be covered, don't we? Child comes out naked. That doctor gave me that naked little baby, and they gave me a blanket, and I swaddled her up, and she was cold, you see. Hard, cold world. It's a shame. Isn't it a shame I have to come out into this? It really is. My, my. You know, I could talk about abortion there a little bit, but I won't. I believe every one of those go to heaven. Huh? God spared them, if you will. Huh? Well, and I'm not condoning. What I'm saying is that those aborted child are not as bad off as sinful adults. That's what I'm saying. All right. Child needs covering. Needs covering. Carnal men try to warm themselves, don't they? Materially. They try to warm themselves with their fig leaves of righteousness and so forth. Won't do. Won't cover. Won't cover. Huh? They're naked. Scripture says everything is naked and open before God's eye. All our sin, our sinful motives, our thoughts, our hearts, everything's naked before God. We need to be covered, don't we, Terry? Huh? What'll cover us? Only one thing will cover us. A righteous robe of Christ. Only thing. It covers completely. It's without seam, too. And it's without flaw. It's perfect. God Himself sewed that garment, and it's perfect. It's a multicolored robe of right that the Father gave to all of His sons to show His favor. Like Jacob did with Joseph's coat. Huh? He gave to all His favored sons, Terry, all His elect. He gave this robe of Christ's perfect righteousness and life to cover them with. You see, what we sew up won't work, will it? I've told you, it's like those hospital garments, you know. They look good up front to everybody, you know, that sees us. Pretty soon we'll reveal what we really are. We'll reveal it pretty soon. It won't cover it. But before God Almighty, dressed in Christ's righteousness, we're covered. From head to toe. The eye of God can't even see sin on us. Huh? Huh? And it warms us too. It warms my heart. It warms this old sinner's heart to hear that God justified me. I'm covered. It's covered. The sin's covered. Under the blood. Under the righteousness. All right? Next. A child needs comforting. Needs comforting. Needs to be warmed. Needs to be wrapped. Needs to be washed. Need to be fed, huh? Needs all that. Next thing it needs is comforting. Comfort, comfort. She started crying, you know. And they handed her to me, and I took her over and washed her in a little tub and then wrapped her in that blanket. And all up until this time, her eyes were closed. I'm so miserable. Oh, I'll never forget that. Love at first sight, buddy. She had those eyes closed, you know, just so miserable. Oh, I'm in this world. It's terrible. How could you do this to me? You know, and I started talking to her. It's okay, honey. It's okay. Daddy's here. She opened those big baby blues and looked up into my face and stopped crying. Stopped crying. She heard my voice. I comforted. It's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. Daddy's not going to drop you. Daddy will protect you. You're mine. You're mine. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. It's okay, honey. And that's what a child of God needs, too. They need comforting. Oh, Lord, I've sinned against you, huh? Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing, first thing. Vicki, when David sinned, and Nathan came to him to recall his sin, you remember the first thing he said to him? David no more had got his confession out of his mouth. He said, oh, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, yeah, but the Lord's put away your sin. That's the first thing he said to him, John. He didn't say, you ought to be sorry. You ought to repent. Yeah, you ought to be sorry. You no good. He said, no, the Lord's put it away. Oh, that's comforting, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that comforting? That's what he does. He comforts, comes in the gospel, with the gospel, and says, I know you're a sinner, but this is a faithful saying. That Christ came to save the likes of you. Did he? We smile, you know. See his smile in the gospel. Comforts us. Woos us. Caresses us. Ah, boy. We need that, don't we? Listen to this. Same chapter. Isaiah 66:13. Go back and read that sometime. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. The Lord said. Huh? They shall suck those breasts and be satisfied. And he says, then I'm going to comfort you. As only a mother can do. All right, next. A child, when it comes out, as soon as it comes out, it starts looking like it looks like the parent. Doesn't it? Huh? Looks like the parent. Mother or the father or both. Bears some resemblance to both of them. And we're hoping that some of your children will grow out of it. Those that look like their fathers especially. But they do. They look like their parents, don't they? They look like them. And Scripture says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. There was a time when we resembled Adam. That's who we resembled. We're no different, Henry, than anybody else out there in the world. So time suffice to walk in our sin and so forth. And what's the word I'm looking for, the Scripture? Rebels against God and so forth. And look just like the world, no different than any of them. But, as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we've borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And I've seen a drastic change come over some people. I mean, in I've seen it, haven't you? Have you? We don't see it in ourselves all the time. You see, we look at that mirror and all it shows us mostly is our rottenness, you know, exposes our sins. The other people see it, don't they? Have you seen the change come over people? I have. And it's a drastic change. They begin to look like Christ. I look in the faces and the countenances of some people and I see Christ. Don't you? Huh? Something you don't see out there in those monkeys. Huh? You look in the countenance and the face of people out there in the world and you see a monkey. You see a man in his natural state. You look in the face and the countenance of God's people. There's a different countenance there, isn't there? It's the light of Christ. It's not infallible. But it's certain evidence. You'll see it. You'll see that change come over people. You'll see it. You'll see it. All right, next. Children are trained, and I'll hurry. I'm almost through. Children are trained in their parents' ways. Children are trained. Those that are born of God are trained by God Almighty. He says this in John 6. And turn over real quick, okay? John chapter 6. I want you to see this.
John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and this is quoted, our Lord quotes this from Isaiah 54:13. Isaiah 54:13 says this, "All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." And he says in verse 45, "It is written," I just read it, "it is written, they shall be all taught of God." Every one of the Father's children are taught of God. They're all taught of God. What does that mean? Terry, it says, everyone are taught of God, doesn't it? And what it said? Everyone who's a son of God are taught of God. What are they taught? They're taught of God. That God's God. Right? They all know God is their God and they're His Son, they all know that God is God. Not a helpless failure. Not one who tries and can't, but God. They know that without exception. Nobody is a son or a daughter of God who does not know and absolutely convinced that God is God. Not a tribe to God, not a hope to God, but God who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And none can stay His hand. Huh? Ain't no sons of God that believe in a God who's helpless. That ain't no God. They shall all be taught of God. Of God. Who He is. His character. Yes. What about God?
First thing they're taught is He's holy. Ain't nobody a son of God who doesn't know, first and foremost, God is holy. That's what makes them repent, Terry. Isn't it? Holiness of God. And that God is sovereign and so forth. His attributes that you're teaching your children? No. Isn't that what John 6:45 said? All. No exceptions. I have one father. All right? Henry Thomas Mahan. One father. He's about 5'10", 205 pounds. He'll say 202. He's about 2'5 or 2'10. But anyway, he's got black hair, speckled hair, and glasses. And I know who his father was, his mother, and on down the line, who his children. I know all about him. And my brother, my oldest brother, Robert Mahan, and my other brother, Daniel Mahan, and my sister, Rebecca Mahan, they all know the same father, too. They all know he's 5'10", 205 pounds, black hair, wears glasses. They know how he is, the way he does things. They know his voice. Huh? They know his characteristics. We all know the same Father, right? So do God's people. No different conceptions of God. No, sir. One Lord. One Father. All right? And it all taught of God. Not only about God, but God's the one that does the teaching. You know why they all have the same knowledge of God?
Got the same teacher.
Right? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit teaches them all of God. He's the one that does the teaching. And the text said, what did it say? Verse 45. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? Comes to Christ. He doesn't try to work out his own righteousness. He doesn't go back to the law. He comes to Christ. He keeps coming to Christ. Huh? Every man that God teaches says, you can't come near me except through Him. Huh? That's what He keeps teaching them, Joe, all the time. You need a mediator. Doesn't that what the Father teaches? The Holy Spirit teaches? No, you're going the wrong way now. Slow. Hold it. Look right there. Yeah. Blood. Righteousness. Yeah. You hang on to Him. You stick with Him. That's what the Father teaches the children, doesn't it? Huh? And trained in the parents' ways, they all grow up to be like Christ. Lastly, they all depend on the Father for everything. Everybody that grew up under my house did. If they're going to get fed, the Father's going to do it. If they're going to get clothed, the Father's going to do it. Huh? If they're going to be protected, they're going to have a house over their head, the Father's going to do it. They all depended on Daddy, the Father. And there's several things we need. We need, like I said, clothing. A believer needs shoes, good shoes. It won't wear out. I'm going to preach on this real soon when I get back. Being shod with the gospel. God gives us a pair of shoes like the Israelites of old. They'll never wear out. You can wear, they fit well. They wear well. They fit everybody. Huh? They wear well, and you can wear them all the days of your life. Never get a splinter or a thorn. You can work by them. I'm giving away my message. And we need clothing. We give that robe. We need food. He says, I'll give you bread. I'll give you bread that the world doesn't know of. And boy, you'll eat it and you'll love it. Sweet bread. Sweet bread. Corn bread. Corn bread. And, you know, they need protection. I remember as a boy, I had older brothers and I didn't have to worry about a thing. They'd already come up through school, Henry, and they all knew I was Robbie Mahan's little brother. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. He's Robbie Mahan's brother. We'll have to answer to him. And that's my big brother, you see, my elder brother. He's bullies me, and I'd taunt him every now and then. And they wouldn't touch me. Why? I had an elder brother. And I've got an elder brother. His name's Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's a lot of bullies out there, aren't there? One particular accuser of the brethren taunts us. How are you going to resist him? Huh? John, how are you going to resist the devil? That he'll flee from you. He's stronger than you. Huh? He could turn you inside. He desires to sift you like wheat, buddy. Sometimes you feel like he is, don't you? He's bothering you, isn't it? How are you going to resist him? Only one way. Lord, brother, elder brother, that bully's bothering me. I'll take care of him. Uh-huh. That's the only way. Only way. I'll take care of him. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God, the Scripture says. And you through His strength shall over all prevail. Look that up, Joe. We'll sing that. The Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Let me ask some of you here. If you felt these workings within your own self, examine yourself. That's what I'm doing for you right now. Examine yourself. See if these evidences are there. Huh? Have you felt these workings within your own self? Hmm? Cried unto the Lord for mercy? Got comfort, actual comfort from the gospel, huh? Been wooed and caressed and petted and comforted and fed and desire it and enjoy it and love God's people and the things of God, the family, like to be in the family, and, huh? It's a good sign. Mighty good signs of a new birth, huh? And I just believe, based on the Word of God, I just believe that since God is faithful, that he that hath begun a good work will finish it. John, didn't he say, I've never brought to the birth and never caused to come forth? Huh? He has no aborted children. Huh? He doesn't say, no, I don't want that one. If it's handicapped or if it's missing something, huh? He doesn't say, I don't want that one. It's imperfect. He said, no, I'm going to have that one. Huh? That one needs me more than any of them. He doesn't abort his children. He said, I never brought forth to the birth where I didn't cause them to bring forth. Huh? Faithful is he that calleth you, also do. And I'm confident if he's begun this good work, and he'll finish it. And you're his child. Huh? Anybody comforted by that? Joe, come on up. We'll sing that. In closing, buddy.
Look to the Lamb of God.
What number? 216.
stand. 216. First and second stanza. First and second.